Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me for the extra hour today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
We'll be with you in just one moment. If you missed the first hour, John Ramos joined us and we're going to talk about the original intent and our Constitution and so many topical issues of what we're facing as we speak. Give a shout out to our listeners out there in Mexico. Hola. Give a shout out this morning to Sophia. Good morning, Sophia. But truly, this is a day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. We will rejoice in it. Give a shout out to Jamian this morning. Good morning, Jamian, Bible man. Well, you're listening to The Extra Hour on VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Oh, we had a wonderful first hour, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Can you believe that The Extra Hour is here already?
Amazing. It just flies.
It is just totally amazing how quickly time, it just flies. But, you know, I just want to say this morning, you know, I want to encourage you that, you know, despite, you know, what we see happening in the environment, what's happening in the cultures in the world, that this is a sign that the Lord is soon to return. And, you know, when we're with him, and if you haven't heard 90 Minutes in Heaven, you got to hear 90 Minutes in Heaven. Because Don Piper speaks about, you know, he went to heaven for about 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. Heaven's so awesome that if you're there for 90 minutes, you can write a book about it and then long for it and cause the entire, anybody who reads it to say, mm-hmm. I want to be there.
Right.
You know, heaven's just a wonderful place. And so I want to encourage you that if you haven't heard that, you can find that in the highlights, 90 Minutes in Heaven. Here, some of the stories about what was it like to be in heaven? What was happening there? And it's just the sound of heaven is so awesome. And I cannot wait. I'm ready. So we win, by the way. Mm-hmm. We win. We may be limping in there, but when we get there, everybody, all your parts of your body function, and it's a glorified body, and it's just so much better than you know, some people can't even click a mouse without their shoulder being thrown out, right?
Yeah.
Makos. Well, you know, the Blue Wahoos, you know, down in Pensacola, we're excited about, you know, having the new stadium for the Blue Wahoos. And they're doing really good down there. And we're following them as they're following, you know, us out there on our social media and all the things. But it's just a beautiful stadium. They did a wonderful job out there. You know, on the front of Pensacola, in Pensacola, mm-hmm. Florida, where it's just the most beautiful thing. Hopefully I'll get that up on the VFN TV blog. I do want to say that, you know, some of the things that we've been talking about, don't forget, you can always go to the VFN TV blog and you can find out more details about it. You can watch videos about it, and you get to it by going to VFNTV.com and you click on the blog logo, or there's a drop-down menu that tells you how to get to the VFN TV blog. You know, one thing we talked about, and I want to reiterate, and a little bit more information is available to you now on the blog, is that suicide is the number two cause of death now to our soldiers and our military forces, and we have to begin to do something about that. And we can do something about that by letting them know that God's for them. And with that, you know, in the highlights, we had a great, wonderful interview, you know, with Steve Kolaszewski. You know, he served two tours of duty in Iraq, and he shared how, you know, he was just only what a Marine could share, only what a soldier could share, you know, because he walked through it, and how he cried out to God, and it's awesome. You just got to hear it. And once you hear it, you need to be able to pass it on. You know, we need to stop any of the adversary's attempts to take any of our soldiers' lives and to give them hope, and God will meet them. And when you hear, you know, Steve's testimony, when they hear it, you may have a son or a daughter or a father or a mother who's come back and they're really having difficulty integrating with what's going on. You know, I encourage you, go there. You can actually go to the VFN TV blog. There's actually a link in there. You can take that and copy it and put it in your social media, put it in your Twitter, put it in your Facebook, and say, pass this around to anybody, you know, that's coming back from times of war. And because God will encourage them, God will meet them. And if they're open, you know, God will heal them. It's just a powerful, powerful thing. You can find out more about that, you know, on the VFN. And USA Today is talking about that. The number two cause of death among soldiers, wow. Suicide.
Wow.
And so also I want to remind you too that, you know, we talked about that the decider, you know, Justice Anthony Kennedy is going to be the one that's going to make the decision on the Supreme Court. We talked about that, but it wasn't for some reason up on the blog, but it's up now so you can find out more about that. We need to focus our prayers and pray for the Supreme Court justice, because remember, they have equal powers to the executive branch and equal powers to the legislature branch, which means if they're supposed to look at any laws that are presented, and if they're not constitutional, we've been talking about the original intent.
Right.
If it doesn't fit the Constitution, they have a responsibility and are obligated to say this is unconstitutional, and they can actually do away with the law. And so you have Congress can do away with the law. Executive branch, the president, can veto a law, and then you have the judiciary branch, and they can actually do away with a law if it's not constitutional.
Wow.
And it's called balance of powers. Well, they're saying that, you know, Justice Anthony Kennedy will be the decider in all of these laws that are coming up right now.
Wow.
All these things that are contradictory towards the values that God asks of us. And so if we pray, if we ask God for mercy, if we pray for the whole judiciary branch, and we pray for all the justices, you know, and you can find out, you know, who they are by going to the blog, if you don't know, and begin to pray for them, you know, and ask God, you know, come against the lies and coming and just pray specifically and just target them for blessings and the ability to hear and speak good things over them and not to be critical and, you know, loose things over them, but just bind the negative things over them and just pray, you know, that God would speak, have mercy. And it's going to require mercy because we don't deserve, you know, we've taken our liberties and done things with it we shouldn't have. But God's merciful. I mean, God, when Nineveh cried out, right?
Right.
You know, Jonah went there, and he went there reluctantly. But God said that this is a great city, and what's it to you that I'm concerned about this great city?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know their left hand from their right, right? That's what he said.
Right.
And he said, you know, is it wrong for me to be concerned about Nineveh? And so God had a plan to get Nineveh to turn around. I truly believe, you know, that there's so many believers in America that when we start hearing what God's saying, we start understanding that we got to shake ourselves and get out of the miry, lethargic sleepiness of religion and get freed from the bondages of men's traditions, as the church has set aside so many of God's commands and started just doing what we think is right, and just turn from that and say, we're just going to do marriage the way God says do marriage. We're going to do family the way God says do family. You know, we're going to do business the way God says do business, despite the world. I'm talking about the world, just the church. And we're going to, you know, function in the church like God's called us as to be, as a living body, breathing and all that. And so that in that, that America will be not only saved, but blessed. You know, we'll have to refight again for our rights, not in the sense of, you know, praying. And the way that we fight is repent. You know, and if we don't repent, then we probably, you know, it's going to be really rough. Really rough. And so, but we talked about that in the original intent. We talked about with the Fourth Amendment. I think I started reading the Sixth Amendment and realized, it was the Fourth Amendment. And you need to find out about that, because you have a constitutional right, it's your Fourth Amendment, that people cannot, you know, just search you, and they can't just kind of barge in your house, or they can't arrest you without probable cause, and that it's not wrong for you to have an attorney to represent you. I mean, there was a time when Paul was arrested, and they had a lawyer go down to be able to help Paul, because the lawyer knows, like a carpenter knows how to build a house, You know, a lawyer knows how to respond and what your constitutional rights are and how to approach the bench and all these different things. And so we want to remember that. We really have to start understanding that because, you know, America is a nation of laws. And we direct things based on the laws. The legislature makes the laws, the executive branch enforces the law, and the judiciary branch, you know, interprets the law. Mm-hmm. And but we, the people, determine who is going to be the legislature, who's going to make the laws. And so it's very important. We have to get active, and we can start actually having, you know, it can make any law you want to, you know, I mean, and if they approve it, it's like, oh, you know, tea has to be green. I mean, we can do that.
Right.
You know, everybody we have a mindset sometimes to think, you know, I don't know if that can ever happen. Listen, if we agree, if enough of us agree that tea should be green.
Right.
And there is green tea, but all tea has to be green. I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we present it to our local legislature, wherever you're at in America. And your legislature says, because you put them in office and you already agreed on green tea before you got there, because we think green tea is healthy for everybody. And but this is just an analogy.
Yeah, right.
And so then, you know, he goes, okay, I'm going to draft up a bill. And so he drafts up a bill. You know, this is what in the green tea. And now it's moving from, you know, from a local idea. It's moving into the legislature branch. The Congress is beginning to present it as a bill. And so they have a committee. They begin to talk about it. Yeah, they invite people to come, you know, come and testify the pro green tea and the negative green tea people come and they talk. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I think all tea should be, what color is tea?
The leaves are brown.
Are they? Is that what color tea is?
Well, when you drink it, it's brown too.
Is it really brown?
Except for green tea. I think it's green.
Is it green? Oh, it's green. Okay. So I'm color challenged. And so so, you know, your brown tea people are going. They're going to sit there and go, you know, I think we should have multi-colored teas. You know, we should have all these different kind of teas. Mm. And so the legislative branch, the committee's hearing all these things. And once they hear this stuff, and the green tea people come in, they got like signs and these little lapels on, going, "Green tea brings health" or whatever. And then the legislature person who you actually talked to before he or she got in office, and you asked them what their values were, and they say, my value is green tea. Mm-hmm. You know what's in their heart. That's what they feel the same way you feel in the context of how the country should be run. Mm-hmm. And so they go back and they create a bill and they present it before Congress and they vote it in. And then that bill then goes over to the Senate. Mm-hmm. And the Senate does the very same thing all again, with a different, you know, obviously there's only two senators per state and it's mm-hmm. not as tedious. And if they actually pass it, then the bill becomes a law.
Wow.
But it all started with you, an American citizen, that said, I think this is how parenting should be. Mm. Because this is how God says children should be raised. We can't buy into, you know, what this world system says. We have to depend on God.
Right.
You know, and you do what's right and you trust God with the rest. So we can get involved that way as a nation of laws. And you have Regent University that's just cranking out lawyer after lawyer who's into constitutional rights. You have John Stemberger, who was responsible for getting, you know, a marriage amendment on the Constitution of the state of Florida. There's people out there that can really help us out. That's how we're going to get involved. We're not going to get involved by waiting for miracle pennies from heaven,
right?
Waiting for candidates from heaven to drop out of the sky. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to get involved in the process and find out what their values are. You know, we're not supporting any particular candidate, but we are supporting the values. We want people that stand for the values that God asks of us. And so we'll be right back in just one moment. Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and look, let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man, you know, on the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed, you know. I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Hmm? Yeah. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and
I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office. You know, I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know. And he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education, you know. You think I could have got one there with 1,200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network University, is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. They had a deep education and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know, by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized, but they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen, and they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about it's amazing how many. You would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making it. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news. You know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, you know, Paul says of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, I'm excited about Paddy. You know, we opened up our Twitter account, and and you know, we were having followers, you know, people connecting with us now around the world, you know, through that apparatus. Right. And we're excited about all of our Twitter followers that are out there, right? Twitter followers.
That's
and if you want to follow us, you know, you can do that. It's VFN TV1. That's V as in Victor. VFN TV1. And it's really neat. I like it because you have to be concise. You can't just ramble on.
Right.
You know? And he's like, to the point, what's happening?
Yeah, I can handle that.
Yeah, right.
Short
right,
and concise.
Right. And so you can follow us at VFN TV1. VFN TV1. It's a good way, too, if you really want to be involved in the great expectation that God has of us, which is all of us to go and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, you can actually begin to build a Twitter following and bring them to VFN Radio or VFN TV, and we will partner with you. I mean, 95%, Pat, 95% of professing believers, according to George Barna, mm-hmm. you know, John, I was talking about this, spend their entire Christian walk with the Lord without winning one person to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Just one.
Wow.
And which means 5% do the other. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we want to partner with you to make that not a reality in your life. You know what I'm saying? That if you will lead them to us, we together will partner with you, and together we will lead them to Jesus. And
amen.
And the second you do that, by the way, mm-hmm. you're moving in the top 5% percentile. That's not embarrassing.
That's huge.
It's just like embarrassing yeah. for the church. It's like, oh my God, are you serious?
All right.
You know, because he says, you know, that you know, we're known by our fruit, you mm-hmm. know, and you know, since the beginning of the church, you know, the church has been convinced that fruit is gifts.
All right, right.
You know, mm-hmm. now look at me prophesying. You know, look at me, look at the way that I teach or talk or, mm-hmm. you know, demons flee when I talk and all these different things. But Jesus said, many people are going to come to me on the last days and say that. They're going to mm-hmm. say, Lord, Lord, did we not use our gifts? And he's going to say, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoer. So that just nails the fact.
Yeah,
that just because we actually can use a gift, and a gift is a gift,
yeah,
it doesn't mean that we ourselves, because remember, even the Pharisees drove out demons,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't saved.
No.
You know? And so, you know, the sons of Sceva did it a couple of times, but eventually it didn't work for them.
No, it didn't.
And so the proper exercise of a gift, just because it's accurate, doesn't mean we're accurate. What determines who we are is based on how we're loving God and how we're loving others, and how we are leading other people to love God and to love others. Just boils down to that.
That's right.
Simple. And so we want to partner with you at VFN TV and VFN Radio. You know, they can actually download the application on their phones at VFNTV.com and follow the steps, or they can go to their application store on their mobile device, wherever they get their applications from, and mm-hmm. download the VFN TV app, and you can listen live in the archives and all that on your mobile device or your smart televisions or your computers at work and all these different places to be able to learn. Also through podcasting, you know, will soon be available, so it can just download into your mobile device and you carry it with you. It's just any way we can get it out.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to get it out to you. So we're going to partner with you. Move in the top 5%. Just say, you know what? I'm going to begin to believe God. I'm going to begin to stay connected and related to what God is doing through VFN TV and VFN Radio, and I'm going to bring people and sit there with them while they listen, and right. and they're going to meet my Father because they just got to meet him. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And you're going to be a part of winning them to the Lord. It's just really cool, and we have great tools to be able to help you out and to be able to do that. Well, I want to talk about, you know, we always talk about God's news behind the news, and you know, we want to know what's actually taking place, and what is God's, you know, what are we beginning to search out what God's perspective is of that, you know, and it's a when you're talking about the end times, you know, you're talking about, and I always say this is really important, that you know, the average person lives 80, you know, I don't know, 60, 80 years or something mm-hmm. like that. But God promised us, I mean, originally when the flood came, it was 120 years.
Right.
But a man is, you know, promised 70 and 80 if God extends it. So
right.
anything after 70, you know, he's like,
it's a bonus.
It's a bonus. And many people have operated in that bonus, and God's used them powerfully at that mm-hmm. age. But so in other words, it's over for us at between 80 and 100. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, what you thought when the Lord was coming back. He came back for you, you know, and it can happen today. I mean, this could be mm-hmm. our last day.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is the question. Remember a long time ago, I asked you this question. You know, I think I was at your home, and you and Tracy were watching Star Wars or something.
I think it was Star Trek.
Oh, Star Trek. Yeah, yes. It was one of those star things. And so, I was talking to you. I said, listen, there's a plane had just gone down. Mm-hmm. It just gone down in Canada. Mm-hmm. And everybody on the plane, you know, didn't make it. It was very right. sad.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so I'm sitting here. I'm talking to you and Trace. I said, if you were in that plane if you were in that plane and it went down, and obviously you're going to be standing before the Lord. Remember that day?
Oh, yeah. I remember.
And I said, would you have any regrets? What did you say?
That time? Yeah. I had a lot of regrets.
Yeah.
I would have.
And because you're just moving traditionally. I mean, you're doing what most American Christians do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And so, and you know, since then, you actually were in a plane in Canada.
Yeah.
Headed, you remember that?
Yeah.
And so, think about it. By making that decision that day, that little did you know that you would be in Canada freezing to death, about to fly out of Canada. You know, we were, think about it. But so you were actually in a plane taking off.
Yeah.
When God approached you about a word of knowledge about a plane going down. Do you remember? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the plane was taken off? All of a sudden, just the presence of God came all over me. And it was just amazing what was happening right there. I know you were mesmerized by the role that they gave you. But the, remember that was powerful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like,
it was something.
It was awesome.
Yeah. But yeah. I was thinking about that. It was pretty cool. And so, but anyway, yeah. And so, you know, here we are, and so the end times, you know, it's going to end for all of us. It's the point of once to die and then the judgment. But we want to be, you know, to study and to focus on, you know, is this the day the Lord returns? Is this, and most, I mean, it's amazing how many people would rather just talk about end times and nothing about anything else. It's like, well, you don't want to be out of balance in that. You know, you actually got to first get saved. There's people that don't even know Jesus. Like, okay, no, the dinosaur came out of a what, and the dragon did what? It's like, dude, you got to know Jesus first. But anyway, and so, and the revelation is a revelation of Christ. I mean, the whole thing is about a revelation of Christ and where we all went. But I'm reading off the VFN TV blog, which you can see it now. You go to vfntv.com and go to the blog. But I'm reading a particular scriptures here because we're going to talk about, how things are preparing to track everything, you know, and it's happening as we speak. They're just letting us know a little bit what they're doing.
Right.
But Revelation chapter 13, 16 through 18 says, he, which is the beast, which would be, you know, Satan, he, the beast, also forced everyone, I mean, think about it, it's everyone, small, that's you, and great, okay, I'm a little heavy, that's me.
Right.
No, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. So that's everybody. He forced everybody to take this mark.
Right.
You know, that was so far-fetched a few years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, really?
Right.
It's really, come on. Serious. Well, that's not going to happen in our lifetime, we thought, right? And so that no one could buy or sell unless he had this mark, unless he had this mobile phone.
Yeah, right.
Which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number 666. Right?
Yeah.
That's number 666. And so so then it has to do with economies. I mean, the whole thing is about economy. So it's about, you know, some sort of buying and selling. Right now, you know, the economies are in, the whole world's economies are in turmoil right now.
Right.
You have to understand, too, that, you know, blind minds don't see what they're doing. And so it doesn't matter what the leaders say if they don't see. You know what I'm saying? But it matters what God's people say if they see. And we have to be able to discern the times. At the times, this Issachar had the ability to discern the times, and we need to discern the times that we're in. And right now, these economies are in flux. The prophetic visions and dreams the Lord is giving to us and to others is that in a prophetic prophecy is history in advance. So you're getting a peek at what's going to happen. Sometimes it's going to happen definitely, and sometimes going to happen if something doesn't take place. And we're seeing already in the book of Revelation that there will be an economy that comes that will be led by one spirit, you know, one which has to actually manifest in someone, some person. But about the economy. You know, and you look at George Soros, you're thinking, oh my goodness, this guy really just kind of flips the bill for for all those check marks. You know, he's taking down entire nations and their economies and driving their money to devaluing their dollar. And he's saying that in June 1st that the euro only had 90 more days left, and it seems like it's all happening like he was saying it was going to happen, because he's actually betting against economies that they would fall, and that's where he makes his money. And so with that, you know, all that aside, you know, whoever Satan uses to be able to fulfill this thing, you know, whatever. But in regards to, you know, we have to understand that sometimes we could be right in the middle of something and not even know it, you know?
Right.
And I was looking at, you know, Google mapping. I mean, it's just so convenient, you know, Google mapping, you know. Sometimes I like to stimulate my brain. I remember when we were coming back from Texas, you know, and I'm like, come on, we just need to map this thing. He's like, no, just set Google and let Google tell us to do it right.
Oh my goodness.
You know,
mistake.
Oh my goodness. Google almost ran us into a wall. We were driving this one particular community. Google Maps. But it did take us to Birmingham at the time. It was amazing. We went through all these back trails and stuff. There was the baby that had the camouflage diapers. So it was anyway, so the country. And so, you know, it's convenient. We have to understand that, you know, it's going to be you know, very convenient and easy. We have to be willing at some point in time, the easiness of something, we have to give it up. You know, we have to be willing at any point to be able to do that. And so Google Maps is looking to, like, Lewis and Clark and all that to map out the country. But they said it's a new day for that. It's a new day that multidimensional maps where it's three-dimensional. And I don't know if you've seen some of the Google Earth type things that you can drive through a city virtually, you know. And they have cars riding all over the place. It's got cameras on there. The roof, and it's taking pictures continually, you know, and it has like maybe 20 or 30 cameras on one ball, and all these angles are being shot, and it's putting down the geographic codes, the latitude, longitude, location during that time, and so they can take all those numbers, and the computer puts them together, and then creates this whole, you know, dimensional image of what really is.
Right.
And either now talking about doing, they're going more dimensional now with the buildings where it's just so real that they want to even, and they've already started, where they're going into the building and getting the blueprint of the building itself. And so if you're in a mall and you're standing by the water fountain, they want to know that you're standing by the water fountain. They want to know if you're standing in front of, a department store like Sears, they want to know that you're in the in that department store. And this is major, by the way.
Wow.
This is major. If you're in a hospital, you're in Sinai Hospital, you know, in New York, or you're, you know, if you're in the LAX and you're going through the, they want to know where you are. Not that you are somewhere in the vicinity of LAX, but they want to know where you are in LAX.
Right.
And of course, right now it's your phone, how they're tracking everybody through their phone. But they just issued out a, they ran out of URLs. They ran out of addresses. And they had, I don't have the name of it, but they
came, IPs?
Yeah, IP address. Yeah, they have an IP address. But they came out with a new, it's like IP6. Because IP4 was not enough. And they're having to borrow from that. And IP6, I think it's IP6, but it's another version of name. So every website you go to, everything that you do, every link on the internet, for example, if you're using a mobile device, it has a particular IP address. Well, it's masked by whatever your www.name is, but really it has, like, you know, it had like four sets of numbers probably. But they've changed it and they ran out of that. So they have a system that has billions of IP addresses, and it's unlimited, this new system. And what they want to do is they want everything to have, well, right now you borrow IP addresses. And so, you know, one day your business may have this IP address, but the next day it might have that IP address because there's a limited amount of IP addresses. But with this unlimited amount of addresses, virtual addresses, that they can give you your own address, and it's your address forever. But not only that, they want to give your phone its own address. It's always you. Your washer, your dryer, your dishwasher, your your television. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything will be online.
Wow.
At the same time, we have Google mapping us. You bring all this integrated technology and, you know, people saying, you know, I want to be able to talk to my, I want to be able to tell my dishwasher to turn on. I want to be able to control my whatever on my cell. Like they have the AT&T has the alarm systems you control on your phone or your banking. But it's like now it's like it is, it was like that. It could change. They never knew if it was really, I mean, there was a high probability it was probably going to be you. At least it was your region and your internet service provider. But now they're going to know it's you because you have that your entire life. Mm-hmm. You'll have that number, addresses, and there's enough of them to have 90 addresses per human being on the face of the earth. 90 per. So you could have 90 devices, 90 things being online, and you can have each have their own address. And then they can track those.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, the fear thing that we talked about in the first hour with John is the fact that people go, well, this is really good because somebody steals my whatever. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, we're going to know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're running, we got to understand too, the other part of that is if they're trying to steal you, they're going to know where you are.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you integrate this technology, you know, of mapping, you know, all the way down to where you are in the hospital with the fact is not only where you are, but what you have on you. Do you have your phone on you? Do you have your iPad on you? Do you have your laptop with you? Do you have, you know, where are you in the context of your dishwasher?
Right, right.
And you know, it's just crazy. And it's like, but then you go back and you think about, you know, that he said this in Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 through 18. He says, he, the beast, also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. And so it's very doable.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of logarithms and, you know, computer functions now that, you know, it's not hard. You can Google anything in the world or Bing something in the world and it just comes right up.
Right.
Now imagine if everybody has their own address. So if you want to find somebody, you don't have to go to anything. You just got to know what their address is, their number. It's a real long number, but you can just bookmark it.
Yeah.
And it tells you on Google's Maps that they're in Cyanide Hospital in the emergency. You know, isn't that wild?
You can track anybody.
Anybody, anywhere. And not only, but 90 of your things. And they can track. They can track all the people that's part of you.
Mm-hmm. Who you're with.
Who you're with.
What you're doing.
Right.
Where you're at.
You know, they're tracking how you're doing business, what your money is, what you're banking, and all that different stuff's being tracked. It's now. This is now technology right now. The difficulty was not their ability to do it. They just didn't have enough addresses. Well, they said, while we were sleeping, this is the article that came out of Germany, while we were sleeping, Pat, they worked all night. This is what was said. They worked all night to be able to change this from IP4 to IP6 or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have the ability now to begin to give those addresses out and issue them. And of course, they said, well, people's biggest concern about this is a right to privacy. It's like, yes. And so they said, well, that's why software companies are working now for privacy software. So the only way we're going to be protected outside of God, obviously, is having some sort of software in store that prevents something from coming our way that's right there to take us at any moment. Isn't that wild?
Wow, that is amazing.
And you think that wouldn't be bad enough, that that's how close we are to this particular day. But then you look at the company called Face.com out of Israel. You know, Face.com is where Facebook got its facial recognition software from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I mean, you can see this is all I'm talking right to you off. We just posted it this morning on the VFNTV blog, but it's facial recognition software. So when you go onto Facebook, for example, or on all these social networks, that it actually looks at your face on your picture and it finds all the other pictures that it has on Facebook, and Facebook has like a billion people. Mm-hmm. And then that's how it actually suggests to you, do you want to be friends with these people? Because they see that you're with them in a picture that they posted somewhere else. And so, and you'll see this is a video. These are, I have a video about Google's mapping, and also we posted a video about the facial recognition for face.com. And so this guy puts on these glasses and he puts on this mustache and turns it sideways. I mean, it just looked really Groucho Marx with a hat on. And it says, see if it can still find me. And it still found him.
Oh my goodness.
I can't even find my keys and they can find me. Anyway, so understand this, the fulfillment of that prophecy is right here. And we have to be willing to do things in a harder way, a more difficult way, which is really the way that it was always done. Outside of technology, you know, if in fact we have to at some point. But we have to understand also that this means that the day of the Lord's coming soon. I mean, that we are real close to where you can't buy or sell. With this big economy that's in uproar, where they're talking about, and you can see this also on the VFN TV blog that we talked about this week, that they said that the economy is preparing to fall like dominoes, you know, where, which was a word that was given by, you know, David Wilkerson, you know, it was given by several others. We've had visions and dreams about it. God has shown us. And Johnny Foote, you know, the prophetic word that's on today's blog, you can read it. It's audio of it as well, of him saying it. But he says that what's going to be taking place is there's going to be a shifting in the beast economy is going to be what actually gets it. The shift takes place. Mm-hmm. And everybody goes, you know, it's just going to be a small shift. You know, things are going to be, you know, not be the way you thought that they were going to be for a while, but then things will kick back up again. Mm-hmm. What that's happening is because they just got these new IP6s, whatever addresses. They got all this stuff set up. And what happens, it's going to shut down and reboot under the beast economy. And that's what Johnny's saying with his word. And you can get that at the VFN TV blog. And but look at, everything's in place. I mean, if they can know your face, you think about it, they can know your face. And when we were in Iraq and our soldiers were trying to figure out who was who, they had a scanner and they were doing bio records on everybody, where they would actually have them put their thumbs on a scanner and it would scan and it would take a picture of their face. And they were trying to identify everybody because they couldn't identify who was the enemy and who wasn't the enemy. And we got to be careful not to hurt innocent people. And so they did that under time of war to be able to make sure that they knew who people were and weren't and who they were looking for. And that's what's happening at our airports today. You know, today we're actually saying, you know, violate my Fourth Amendment rights, you know, search me, not only search me, but scan me. And that's totally a violation of the Fourth Amendment rights to be able to fly in an airplane. And also, you know, in this prophetic word that Johnny gives is that it talks about the airline industry and Johnny's ministry, Johnny and Georgette Foote, F-O-O-T-E, is Flame of Fire Ministries, but you can find out his ministry on our website, and hopefully we'll have Johnny on to be able to talk more about this. But you know, the airline industry is going to come to a halt. You know, a lot of things are going to come to a halt. But he saw all the wings coming off of the planes. Russia had a particular aspect of what was going on. Duderman's grandson or nephew had the prophetic vision of Russia. We talked about yesterday or last week. Russia, China, and North Korea coming together and saying that they wanted to have an economic pact of what's going on. You think about the euro, what's happening in the euro right now. Well, that's where the end time 10 horns are going to come out of Europe. So out of all this chaos, you know, something's going to rise and begin to change. So it's going to be like a shutdown and a reboot. You know, originally the Lord laid on my heart 90 days, you know, and since then, you know, 90, you know, prepare yourself for the downtime. And realize it is going to reboot. You know, things are going to reboot. But it's time for us to be the church like never before. You're not going to be able to play church anymore.
Right.
You know, you can actually go on also and see that on our blog that, you know, where John Hagee's church is set, they're sitting there talking. All of a sudden in their crowd, in their congregation, in their gathering, there was scatterings of all these people who were against Israel and against Christians. And they started jumping up one at a time. And nobody even knew them. They didn't know. You know, it's not going to be this way anymore. You're not going to be able to go with a whole bunch of people and hang around that you don't even know. You tell everybody that they're the church, but you don't even know that they are or not. And you didn't even know Al-Qaeda was sitting beside you. That's how you know you don't know.
I know.
You know, if you have, you know, what happened was, I'm sure this should be on the blog. You got to see this because you know for a fact, when this starts happening at large, you know, people are going to say, I got to know you. You know, who are you? And he says, you only know them by their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was, I'm going to tell you what happened. This is what happened. You know, and, you know, we've partnered with CUFI, Christians United for Israel, and, you know, and John Hagee was having a big thing that day, and scattered throughout his congregation was people that were against Israel, that was for the Palestinians and against Christians. They were, they were just talking. Hagee was talking and preaching mm-hmm. like he always does, and he was delivering this word. And all of a sudden, one person stood up. Mm-hmm. And when they stood up, they started screaming and hollering at him. And he's really good at security and all that. And he had security this there. And they came and escorted this person out. As they're escorting him out, on the whole other side of the crowd, another one popped up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went to go escort that one out. And then another one, and another one, and another one. You see, all along, Pat,
mm-hmm.
all along, the enemy was amongst the sheep and the shepherd didn't know it. And I'm not saying anything negative. I'm just saying we got to begin to know who's amongst us. You know, Paul says, I warned you day and night with tears
mm-hmm.
that wolves will come in amongst you. And so we're going to have to know. We're going to have to differentiate between those who are gods and those who are not gods.
That's right.
And not to shun anybody. Just the very fact is that, you know, as shepherds, we're responsible for who comes in amongst the number, you know. And he says, I warned you with tears day and night that wolves would come in amongst you. If you're sitting in some crowd and you don't even know this person beside you, and I had those experiences. I was a founding pastor of a traditional church expression, and I also was in traditional ministry working with Brother Kilpatrick, Brother John Kilpatrick of Brownsville Assembly of God, in ministry with him. And I introduced people to each other that have sat together for 10 years and they didn't even know each other.
Wow.
You know, and it's like that system, that concept, when things are chaotic and the adversary is against you, has to be questioned about, I need to take time to meet these people around me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that gathering is wrong. I'm just saying that don't sit there and go to a gathering for 20 years and never meet that lady next to you.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, she might be dying and needs your help. You
right.
know? He might be suffering from something you not even know, which is, I just can't, you know, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But know them, know everybody, know those who labor amongst you. You know, he says, you know them by their fruit. And so they didn't even know. They didn't even know that all these people were scattered amongst them. And they got the first one out and they go, well, good, they're out. You could tell that relief mm-hmm. on their face. But another one. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my goodness, that one's out. And then another one, all of a sudden, everybody starts thinking, they're everywhere. But mm-hmm. they didn't know. They didn't know who was who. They didn't even know each other. And so that's not going to work at time of persecution, that type of things. That you might, obviously, you still can gather in large groups, but mm-hmm. There needs to be shepherds amongst all that. There needs to be people who know these people
mm-hmm.
and can testify for their life, and you know them by their fruit. And so we're talking about that because I mean, look at this end time things that are taking place with the economies are shifting. Everything's quaking. I mean, you think about it, that Facebook has a better ability to recognize people than the church does.
<You know>? Right.
You think about it. I mean, they're all into recognition, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to encourage you that, you know, these things are happening. They're coming to pass. You know, we can't play church. It's time for us to be the church, you know. It's time for us to say, you know what, this word of God does not apply to some institutional organization. It applies to me and my brothers, and I have to begin to apply this to my life. It's me. And that drives us to the cross, by the way, because we start realizing, oh my goodness, I need the Lord. And so I want to encourage you that even though these things are happening, all these trackings and stuff that are going on right now, that the Lord is in you. If you're a believer, and Christ in you is the hope of glory, and the Lord wants us to go out and let other people know about him, and you can do that. If you have not yet done that, you're going to tell you a little bit more. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man. You know, I'm the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed. You know, I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education. You know, you think I could have got one there with 1200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network University, is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. They had a deep education and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know, by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized, but they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen, and they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org.
Well, I don't know if you know about this, but a new study was done by the University of Alabama. You know that? Did you hear about that, Pat?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the University of Alabama. They studied and they determined that Auburn, no mess with me. the university study, they did a study about sleep, and they said that a study linked a lack of sleep to strokes, obesity, I need a nap, anxiety, and depression, as well as a host of other things, and the number one killer, heart disease and cancer.
Oh, wow.
And we're finding out that, you know, all this technology and all these things that are taking place, it's just like information's coming nonstop, you know, and our ability just to go and just be and rest and shut down. They say that you know, I think it was our great grandfathers, that their entire lifetime, one day's of information for us is an entire lifetime for them. That's how much information comes our way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That is amazing.
Makes me feel a little bit better because I don't remember. It's like, well, you're missing 15 lifetimes of theirs. So don't worry about it, you know? And so you know, we got to really focus on our sleep. We have a few more moments left in this extra hour. I just want to encourage you, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to study. I want to focus on sleep. And imagine, you know, it's amazing that, you know, we have to really think about it. You know, there's different things. You can find a little bit about this on our blog. But, you know, really think about and plan your sleep. Sleep doesn't just happen, you know, and the stresses of all these things that are increasing that we talk about, you know, in the news is happening. They're really happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously your body's going to react to these stressors. People are losing their job. You know, people are losing their homes. I mean, these are very, I mean, and then what's happening, how the world is just pulling at our loved ones' hearts, trying to seduce them and pull them into the world. And this huge battle is increasing. But with that, you know, we got to believe God that, you know, just like Jesus was in the storm in the boat when everybody was stressing over the storm, he was sleeping. He was sleeping actually in the bottom of the boat.
Right.
And of course, they came and woke him up and said, "Don't you even care? We're going to die."
Right.
And so, you know, we got, and he said, "You have a little faith." Yeah, you have a little faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that really probably says something to us about, you know, getting rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you are a diligent person and you're trying to be, you know, a good, to walk righteously, you know, before the Lord, you know, because of God's grace, but you're wanting to do what's right and you want to be a good father, a good wife, and you want to be a good son and daughter and a business owner, employee, and all these different things, and a good leader, good political leader, and all that. I mean, you're carrying some stresses.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing, the one ingredient that we're going to have to really focus on is not just faith for things and faith for breakthroughs, but we're going to have faith to be able to sleep in the storm.
Right.
We have to learn how to rest when everything's not at rest,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's important because, you know, if you don't get rest, the enemy can take you out by that alone.
All right.
You know, and I think about, you know, Robert Evans and the Welsh revivalists, you know, mm-hmm. and you can read about him in God's Generals by a book by Robert, I'll tell you his name in just a moment, but, you know, Robert Evans was young, in his 20s, and God was using him very powerfully. And, you know, so often we just think because the Lord is, we're doing something for the Lord, or we're loving Jesus and the way we're doing our work or our business, that all of a sudden that, you know, God is going to just supernaturally give us some ability to be different than everybody else and not... get the proper rest. We won't need the proper rest. Well, it's Robert Leirden's book, God's General, and he talks about, which is a really good book, we'll be talking more about God's Generals. But he just basically got to the point where he was physically stressed out. And so he had this particular lady, Pat, and she saw him. She says, "Oh, honey, you're just tired. You know, I got a place for you. Why don't you just come out to my place?" And the powerful move of God's taking place. He's rocking that part of the world, right, for mm-hmm. Jesus.
Right.
And he didn't think about rest. And so then he says, "Great." So he goes out to her place, and then she goes, "Oh, you just look so tired. Why don't you just edit my magazine? I got a religious magazine. I can't edit it." "Okay, I'll do that." And then all of a sudden, you didn't hear about him again. He just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Listen, you cannot run yourself ragged and not pay attention to the need for rest. And you know, I'm guilty of as much as anybody. And begin to focus on learning how to sleep. Ask God for the faith to learn how to sleep in storms, you know, and be ready. You know, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and they feared not their life unto death. That, you know, be ready to die at any moment. You know, ponder your epitaph. You know, ponder to say, "Am I satisfied now? You know, if it was my time, if I was going to go, am I okay with that? And did I leave everything on the court?" You would say in basketball, right?
Right.
Or is there stuff that I'm holding back from God? And if you're living your life like that, that means you're ready to go. And so you can rest. It doesn't matter if the boat goes down and I just want to encourage you, you can find out more about that on the blog. Also God's Generals, Robert Leirden, will be talking more about that, but a powerful move of God. And many of them happen like that. We'll talk more about those. We're ending, believe it or not. Can you believe it? We're coming to the end of the extra hour today. Time so flies. I just want to say, pray the Lord bless you today, that he encourage you, that his face shine upon you and give you hope. Remember, God has good plans in store for you, plans to bless you. Know this, that when you trust God and you believe God, he'll step over 1 million people to get to somebody who believes him. God is with you. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow on VFN Radio.